Hello, I'm Anthony Kendrick and you are listening to the 72 Show. So, last week, me and Nick Davey had a chat with Ronnie Moore, who is a former player. He played throughout the 70s and the 80s. He was a striker. He's also gone into management. We talk a bit about his career. Really hope you enjoy the interview. Me and Nick really enjoyed speaking to him. You can listen to the interview now.
Well, hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Nick. All right. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm fine. No problem.
I thought I'd just sort of ask questions about your career, both in the playing side and management side. That's right.
Sort
of in your earlier days, in the 1970s, you started your career off with Tranmere Rovers. Then you went on to make well over 249 appearances, to be precise, scoring 72 goals. What was it about that football club where it sort of just ticked from the early age?
It was just, I mean, I was very fortunate, really, because I had the opportunity. I was training at Everton in the early days. You know, when you're 15 and 16, and I was promised an apprenticeship there. And things just didn't work out. My mum died when I was 16, so there was a few problems, and I didn't deal with it the right way, and they sort of ended up letting me go. So I ended up being an apprentice butcher, cash and carry, believe it or not, in Highton. And I was spotted playing to like a Saturday side, a team called St. John's Old Boys. And I was spotted by Tranmere and invited to the trial. I had the trial, scored a trick in the trial, and the rest was sort of history. But it's had a big chunk of my life. If you look at probably 8 years as player, and then I was assistant manager for 9 years, then I've been back. I was there for 3 years, and then for 2 years after that. So they've had a massive jump. It's, I don't know what it is. It's just one of them things that I seem to have done the same with Rotherham, really. Between them two clubs, they've had an awful lot of my football days and my management days.
Yeah, it can be like that. So we've had quite a few guests on the show that have sort of come connected to one sort of club, like, for instance, Nick Tanner, which spoke about his affiliation with Bristol Rovers, really, both in a playing and coaching side. You see it all the time, though, even in this day and age now, that you've got players who serve a club well and then they end up getting onto the coaching side of things there. You went back to Tranmere at the end of your career. Obviously, the famous line, they never say go back, but again, you made 75 appearances that time around and scored 6 goals.
Was it
a very smooth return? Was it just, did everything just sort of...
Yeah, it was to be fair. You know, I was coming towards the end of my career, really. I'd left Charlton and gone to Rochdale.
Yeah.
And Johnny King, who had been my manager at Tranmere Rovers, he was assistant manager to Vic Allen at Rochdale. And he obviously got me into Rochdale, and then he left Rochdale and got the Tranmere job. So, consequently, he rung me up and asked me would I like to go back there and to be like assistant coach player type thing. So I went back and did that. So it was basically because of Johnny King that I moved back to Tranmere.
Yeah, and you say after your final spell there, you became you were assistant manager for quite a while. Was that through Johnny King then becoming the assistant?
Yeah, it was Johnny King who put me on the coaching staff and then brought me in as his assistant. I mean, I had some wonderful times with Kingy. Bloody hell, if you look back at how close we were to get to the Premier League, I mean, it was just incredible.
Yeah.
You know, Wembley appearances, I think we had 4 Wembley appearances in the 12-month period. You know, everything was flying. We were just so, you know, it's just one of them things where, you know, the playoffs, we just couldn't get through to the Wembley games and give ourselves a chance of getting into the Premier League or the League One. But it was fantastic times there. I mean, I love the club. I still now, you know, I've done a bit of work in B team. I'll go back and do it there. I'm going to Wembley on Sunday to watch them. So, you know, like I say, they've had a massive part of my life. They've been good to me, and I've been good to them, to be fair.
And, yeah, you say then you went away managing elsewhere, but then you returned to Tranmere in 2006, 2009. I think that was always a very... Tranmere always at the right end of the League One table, but never could quite get the promotion to the Championship.
It was just, I mean, we were so... I mean, probably the last season I was there, 2008-2009, I think that we just dipped out on the playoffs. I think that was the year we played Scunthorpe, last game of the season. They needed to draw. We needed to win to get to the playoffs. And unfortunately, up for us, we were 1-0 up to the 94th minute, and we had a lad sent off, and they equalised in the 94th minute. So when we finished seventh, and they went off to actually Wembley, and it kick-started Nigel, what's the name's, Atkins' career, really, because he went on from there up to Southampton, and the Premiership was his reward for all that.
Yeah,
that's how close we were.
Yeah, he did a superb job there, Nigel Atkins. You made a return as well in Tranmere after your other club in 2012. Circumstances with the team sort of struggling a bit. They weren't doing as well as they were doing when you're there as manager first time around.
I mean, to be fair, we were flying in what season that was, 2012, 2013. I think was that when we went 30, we were top of the league for 30 games.
I think it might have been, yeah.
Yeah, we lost three players. Jake Cassidy was called back to Wolves.
Yeah.
Ben Gibson was called back to Middlesbrough.
Oh, yeah.
And James Wallace got injured, so it was like the backbone of the team went. And I went back to Peter Johnson to speak about trying to replace him and get people in, but we'd spent the budget. So I do believe if Peter Johnson had been another 20 years younger, he'd have said, go and replace them. But unfortunately for us, we ended up from being top of the league for 30 games. I think they'd have been 12th or 13th, something like that.
Yeah, and I saw your Tranmere, it came to a bit of an unfortunate ending. I won't discuss it if you don't want me to about the...
No, it's not a problem, no. I haven't got a problem with it. I mean,
you're under investigation with the FA and over alleged betting on, and we've seen that we've just marked at the moment. Can you shed any light on what happened there, or if you don't want to discuss it?
I should have known the rules about what's going on, this, that, and the other, but I never, my integrity was never questioned by the FA. I've heard people say, oh, you bet against Tranmere winning games, losing games, and you bet about it. It's the biggest load of nonsense ever. You know, that was never, I think if anybody ever does that in football, you deserve to be banned from football for life.
Yeah.
It wasn't that, you know, it was like a family syndicate where my wife and her sister and my wife's dad, we had £5 each every weekend. But the problem was, I started the account when I was out of work. And instead of moving the account to another name or whatever, it was still in my name when it was, I don't know how they found out or whatever, but if somebody said I'd have it, I'd have it or whatever. But it was nothing, I mean, I've actually got the 94 bets still printed out on the sheet, you know, and I don't mind putting that out for everybody to have a look at how ridiculous the thing was. Yeah, I did wrong, you know, I shouldn't have been betting because we played in the FA Cup, but I had a £20 bet on Man City to beat Wigan in the FA Cup, and they got beat anyway. I don't know how I can influence that in the final. So, you know, there was also on there... a £2, I think the only time the bet was on Tranmere was, it was Tranmere to win, and it was a £1 bet for my sister-in-law, and it was her son, Ollie, phoned up and said, look, can you do me a favour, and they think you're going to win it for Chester today. I went, I wish I was as confident as that. As it happened, we won 5-0. So, because I put a bet on, in a double with Chelsea, Chelsea had to beat Man United, for my nephew, he had a £1 double on it. He won £3.50. So, and like I said to the FA, hold on a minute. If we won 5-0 at Colchester, do you think I'd have had a £1 double with Chelsea or somebody else to bloody to win it? And that's how farcical it was. I'm going to say, I've got it all, and I don't mind letting anybody have a look at it. And you know, I was absolutely gutted, really, that that Peter Johnson didn't stand by, really stand by him and say, look, yeah, look, we know what it's about. We've had a look at it. But we were struggling, really. We were playing brilliant at the time. So I think deep down, he just thought it was an easy way to get out. Gross misconduct, you don't get a penny out of it.
Mm. Yeah,
and that's a sad thing, you know, because you want to do well and you want to be thought of. To be fair, and being back doing punditry with BT and being absolutely fantastic and supportive.
Yeah, it was a shame, as you say. You did absolutely superb as a player there, and superb as a manager both times. It really was a bad end.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
A fantastic time with Tranmere Rovers. On the subject of staying with Tranmere, I've got my final question on Tranmere Rovers. You say you've been obviously watching them closely this season in the Vanarama Conference, National League.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you think they can do it in the Wembley final?
I mean, look, it's going to be tough. It's a one-off game at Wembley, and then I think in Appleby, we know that. But I think they'll probably be too strong for Forest Green. Although Forest Green has a tricky passing side, who Mark Cooper's done a good job with. But I just think they'll just have too much experience, too much know-how. And then they deserve to be back where they belong, really, in league football.
Yeah,
because it was a sad day. Because I was the manager at Hartlepool when we overtook them and set them down. Mm. so that aired a little bit when he went down. You know what I mean? Sending the whole team down. But at the time, I was employed by Hartlepool, so we had that great escape. We were 10 points adrift and managed to do it with one game to go.
Yeah.
And we ended up sending Tranmere out the league.
That moves me on to Wotherham United. It's another club that you spent a lot of your life with, really. As a player, over 120 appearances for scoring 52 goals. Again, what was it about Rotherham that went so well? I know you moved there from Cardiff City. Was it what went so well about
the player? Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable when you think about it. I mean, I went from Tranmere for 100 grand to Cardiff City, and I couldn't hit a barn door. You know, I was running about and chasing and doing all that type of thing. So I was playing every week because of my work ethic. But I think I ended up getting 6 goals in 50-odd games there. And the supporters, actually, in the supporters shop, asked me if they could tell Badger saying I saw Ronnie Moore score. So that was a little bit of fun for the Cardiff Eckies. But I went there for 100 grand from Tranmere, and they sold me, Cardiff sold me for 100 grand to Rotherham. And then, I don't know what it was, but I went to Rotherham two lads called John Seesman, who I knew from Tranmere days, and Tony Towner, and the three of us hit it off. And you know, we had magical times there at Rotherham. It's fantastic times as a player. You know, you look at the Tranmere, look at Rotherham, you know, as playing, and they were fantastic times. And, you know, then 3 years at Rotherham, I think I got 50 goals in roughly one in three, or just below one in three. You know, we got promoted, won the championship there, so it's fantastic time there.
You moved on to be a manager for Rotherham. You had a couple of spells as manager in the 1997 to 2005, and then 2009 to 2011. The first one, 1997, again, what was it so well then?
It was fantastic. I was at Southport, really. I left Tranmere because basically I was still assistant manager there, and I thought it was time for me to move on into the managerial. I had enough experience from Johnny King, which was, he was awesome, fantastic what we learned from him. And I thought it was time to move, and a guy called Charlie Clapham was the chairman of Southport in, I think, 1997. I went there and had 6 months there. And then, to be fair to him, he let me go. Rotherham came in for me, and he knew, you know, obviously with the playing days at Rotherham and whatever, he knew that I was desperate to go. So he allowed me to go, and we had eight great years there, really, the first 8 years in my management. Not brilliant early on, but just getting the team, the support I got and backing from the spectators was unbelievable.
I was just going to say, a friend of mine who's a Brighton fan now, back in the day, he still has a good spot for soccer on the room, but he says, yeah, you're one of the a very, very massive legendary figure at that football club for that first time round 1997 to 2000.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, I think the the fans had a vote, and I was voted the best player there at one time and the best manager there. So you can't get much better than that from the supporters. And I do, you know, and we had fantastic times. We have 4 years in the championship was just unbelievable for us. On the budget that we were on, it was just incredible. We're playing Man City's and Leeds and Blackburns, and, you know, we're playing all these teams. And basically, what I used to do, really, we used to train on the pitch every Friday and just left it. So teams were moaning and complaining when they come that the pitch was dug up or whatever. You know what I mean? Even Kevin Keegan, when he was at Man City, complained like mad about the pitch. And I said, I'll tell you what, the next time they come, I'll leave it like a billiard table and you'll beat them 7-0. We drew 1-1 at home, you know. And that was the only way. You have to take whatever you can. And 4 years in that championship to stay in there was, for me, was a fantastic achievement. I know we had two promotions back-to-back, but to actually stay in that league for as long as we did, we were lucky the first year. I think we just picked out. If we just stayed in on goal difference, yeah. But, you know, it was just enough, but it was, they were fantastic days, them early days at Rotherham, learning my trade.
And, with Rotherham, though, you said they've had a, I'm sure you've kept an eye on Rotherham this season. It's not been the greatest of season, but
no,
I went to Rotherham away. I just couldn't get over how fantastic the facilities are there. Absolutely superb ground and everything there. And it's certainly a challenge. It's just a shame to see them bottom of the league, really. And such
bad. Well, it is, you know. Yeah, that, I mean, it's a fantastic. Jim has done well, to be fair, to Tony Stewart. You know, I still don't think I should have gone when I went 2009-11. I don't think we were fifth in the league. You know, we were in a playoff position. The problem was we just lost 5-0 on the Friday night on Sky to Chesterfield.
Yeah.
The best side by a mile at that time in the league. So, that, you know, it was disappointing that, you know, I just thought we should have just waited. I thought we pulled the trigger a little bit too soon. You know, and I don't look back at that as a failure. You know, we were fifth in the league. Failure's when you're bottom and you're in the bottom two or whatever. Fifth in the league in a playoff spot. I mean, for me, I don't see anything wrong with that. And, you know, that was a disappointing thing for me. But to be fair to him, you know, he moved the club now into New York Stadium, and it is a fantastic stadium. You know, I've been there. I've only been back once as a manager. Went back with Tramer, and we drew 1-1 there. So, but it's a wonderful place to play football.
Yeah, and the final question on your career is, as we touched on it before the party pulled, I mean, absolutely incredible job done there. And this was the greatest game. One would wonder why they should have gone to get you in they should have had you in charge this season to keep them up.
Well, you know, that, in a roundabout way, I'm disappointed about that, yeah, especially when you have two games left and you sack the manager.
Yeah.
You know, and then bring two players in who are inexperienced. You know, you look at it a little bit and think, well, I'm sat at home here now. You know, I mean, I'd have walked back into it for nothing anyway. I wouldn't want to pay him for it. You know, and that's a disappointing thing for me. That the phone didn't go on that situation. I think, well, hold on, but who else could do the job? I mean, first time round when you're 10 points adrift, everybody thought we were dead in the water. You know, and to actually get stay in the league with one game to go as well from being 10 points adrift. I mean, it was just unbelievable. You know, it only happens once in your career, really. It was like winning the league. Honestly, I mean, I got back promotions with Rotherham. But when we stayed up against Exeter at home and we beat them 2-1, that was just like winning the league. It was just unbelievable. The atmosphere, the crowd, they got fantastic support at Hartlepool. And that's a signal that they've had to go out the league now. But they're going to have to move Sharpish and get somebody in Sharpish, because otherwise they're going to be in trouble.
Absolutely. As I said, the band, well, you've seen it yourself this year at Tranmere. It's almost like it's an extra football league now, a division, a conference these days. It's not what it used to be. There's some very good teams in there, and it makes it even more difficult that only one team can get promoted out of the division automatically.
Yeah, automatically. Yeah, I mean, that's the big problem. I mean, I was down in that with Eastleigh. So I know all about what it's like at that level and what the teams are like. And I'll tell you now, the top probably nine in the National League are as good as the bottom nine in League Two. There's nothing between it. There really isn't anything, and because a lot of players now are moving down to the National League where they wouldn't have gone there years ago. But because league clubs have cut the players and their squads down, they're tending now to say, well, hold on, you know, we're only having 20 as a group, a football league club. So more and more are going to have to find a way down into that National League, and it becomes a really tough league to get out of. I mean, Lincoln, 6 years, it's tough then to come out. You know, you've got Wrexham still down there, you've got Chester down there, Macclesfield, all the league clubs. It is so hard to come out of that league. Honestly, there's so many good teams at that level.
Absolutely, and well, even with clubs like you're at Eastleigh, I mean, they've got a huge, huge budget. You've got to look at clubs like that who invest. You've seen like Beers Fleetwood have come out of nowhere, then Ben rise up as high as League One.
Yeah, that's another one.
Even in the league.
Well, I was at Eastleigh and we were flying.
Yeah.
You know, unbelievable. I had a fallout with the chairman. And you end up losing your job, and I'm thinking, I must be doing something wrong here, because you know we won't believe when it gets set. But I've finished 7th once, 5th once, 12th once, and you're thinking, and got the sack. Now, I know in football, there's one thing about football, it's like life, but if you're born, you know you're going to die. In football, you know you're going to get the sack. It's just a matter of when, but normally it's for failure. You know,
yeah.
So, you know, that annoys me quite a lot. So when you look back, you say, well, what happened? You know, what's that about? And at the moment, I'm sat at home twiddling my thumbs thinking, you know, I should be out there doing a job for somebody. I think I've got over 930-odd or 40-odd games. I'm desperate to get to that 1,000. I mean, it'd be a fantastic achievement if I can get there.
Yeah, no, that's, as I say, I mean, the conference really has changed for the better. I'm moving on, sorry, same with the Hartlepool with the Great Escape. I must just follow you on Twitter after the game. The emotions got the better of you. I don't know whether you had a few beers or whatever it was, but please come now. Can you explain about that? Was it just the sheer excitement?
It was just the excitement of what's going on, isn't it? You're looking at it, you know, you're playing because you've been there and been a part of it.
That's
it. You know, and you're thinking, there's another job. I lost that job there when we were 4 points from going out the league with 5 games in hand, and we played Yeovil on the Saturday at home. We were the worst side of the world at that time. You know, and they won that game, so they ended up being 7 points clear with 5 games in hand, and I'm fine. Obviously, it does my head in sometimes. But, you know, I'm not one of them who's bitter and twisted over them. You know, I want them to do well. I want them to stay in there because we kept them in. You know, and the supporters are good there. And I do Twitter. If I was the manager of the club, I would do Twitter because you get carried away. And if you've won, it's great. If you haven't, everybody's happy, aren't they? You've got to be so careful what you say on there now when you're employed by a football club. So I have my little club now. Why I'm not employed, it gives me a chance to take the Mickey once or twice and get people wound up on there.
I think that's all the questions I've got, mate. So I'll hand back over to Anthony.
All right, Nick, no problem.
Yeah, I've just got a couple. As you say about Twitter, just want to pick up on that. How different do you think it is for players and managers today as it was back when you were a player? You know, because obviously there wasn't the social media aspect, but
yeah.
Players have got to be more controlled in the way, you know, they behave in that. How do you think that?
Well, you have, yeah. But you have to be so careful because, I mean, you know, the punters can say what they want to you, and you can't reply with anything nasty or what the FA deem to be irresponsible, which is very difficult when you're on there, and especially on a Saturday night when you're a young lad and you've probably been out, had a few beers and come back and see somebody slagging you all over the place on it, then you have to be controlled because, you know, you do get fined now for the FA, there's no messing about on it. So, you know, I think a lot of the education now is down to that as well. I think the BFA and the FA are educating players now about how to handle the media because, you know, when I was younger, we really had none of that. None of that was going on at all. You got it verbally from the crowd at the game or when he went for a beer after the game. But yeah. Now, you know, anybody, you know, it could be a couple of 16-year-olds or a couple of 30-year-old kids on the Twitter just trying to wind you up. So that's why I was saying, you know, when I'm back management, I will come off Twitter because I can't control myself on there sometimes when you read what one or two people are trying to do and to wind you up. So you're better off it, you know. And I thought that a little bit when Gary Cox, who was the chairman of Hartlepool, God bless him, he was on there defending the club and defending himself or whatever, he was getting tons of abuse on it. But he was in there week in and week out, and I was thinking, you need a bulletproof vest to stay on there, I think.
And also, I just want to ask about Hartlepool. I know you spoke about it with Nick, but Dave Jones was sacked right at the end of the season with Jeff Stelling having, well, what seemed like some involvement with what he said on Soccer Saturday. Do you think it's right that a pundit, I know he's a fan of the club, but do you think it's right, you know, the fact a pundit can go on and get rid of a manager like that? Because, I don't know, from you as a manager point of view, would you find that as a bit of a worrying precedent?
Well, I mean, it can be. I mean, if you could do something like that, then I say you did, didn't it? You know what I mean? If there is a nice way of doing it, but I think what it is, it's just, you know, he's on the TV and he's articles through and through. But sometimes, you know, you have to keep them sort of comments or whatever to yourself. But, you know, I'm not going to criticise Jeff for that. I mean, he does what he wants to do. I mean, he's been a fantastic servant for Hartlepool. You know, you imagine how much it would cost to be advertised on what we get on there from Jeff every Saturday. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's, you know, in hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And a few people have said to me, I wish he'd have done it a few weeks earlier because he might have still stayed up. So, you can't win with whatever way you go. That's the way it is at football.
And also, Ashley Carver, who has asked, he said you had a phone call, Hopes, years ago from Ipswich, apparently the chairman, someone impersonated the chairman. I don't know anything about the story myself. Could you tell us a bit about what happened?
Yeah, I mean, they made out it was Hopes, but deep down it was actually true. But somebody had phoned up and said that it was Ipswich Town and Secretary Ipswich Town, and he wanted me to go to Ipswich, and they were still involved in Europe and all that then. So, you know, Sky mentioned it to me, and I sort of said, would you be interested? Well, obviously, anybody was going to be interested in it. Mm. But I, like an idiot, I said that on the TV. And really, you know, I mean, you talk about trying to learn your trade and whatever. I should have said nothing and just said, you know, try and swerve like everybody does now, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, was it a penalty or not? Or I didn't see it. Well, you know. Is it true that you're going to Ipswich? Well, no, I don't know what you're talking about. That's really what I should have said.
Yeah.
But being me, I dived in deep, you know, bumped straight in. I went in that deep, I needed a snorkel, really, to try and get out of it. So, but as it happened, you know, the punters think it was false, but it actually was kind of spoke, somebody at the club had spoken to a director there and said it was actually true, but the club had turned it down, but that didn't get out. You know, so, but it was something you learn with that kind of place, if you like. But that's partial of learning how to be a manager.
Mm. All right. And just a final question. What are you up to these days?
It's all quiet at the moment. I'm still waiting for that door from Hartlepool, seeing they haven't got anybody yet. you know what football's like. We're season's finished now. It's going to be, I don't know, end of September, early October, isn't it, before the chairman gets the nooses out and starts hanging the managers. So, you know, I've just got to keep my hand in on what I'm doing. I've done a lot of work for BT. I thank them for that. It's been brilliant this season of the year, but in that, so just, you know, it's a matter of, I want to come back and I want to have one more property. Mm-hmm. And like you say, I want to try and get to that 1,000. So I'm sit tight and just wait for the ball to go. But when it gets to 64, you know, people sort of look at you, 64, but the early, you know, can't do this, but I can't jog every day. Move. You know, I'm not like Einstein in a wheelchair or anything like that. You know, I am healthy and looking for a job, and I want to get back in as quickly as I can.
All right. Well, best of luck, and I hope you have a club for next season.
All right. Cheers, man. Thank you.
Really, really appreciate your time and joining us tonight. Thanks a lot.
Anytime, I'm there. Cheers, mate. Anytime.
All right.
Cheers, mate.
So, I just want to say thanks again to Ronnie Moore for his time in coming on the show. We really appreciated that. And also out to Forest Green, who've reached League Two after beating Tranmere in the playoff final. That obviously happened after the interview was recorded. Me and Nick will be back for one final show after the playoffs, where we'll review the playoffs, review the season as a whole, and that'll be the final show of this season. So just finally, you can follow Ronnie Moore on Twitter at RonnieMoore53, and also Ronnie's doing the Jeff Stelling prostate cancer walk. You can also sponsor him. I wish him luck with that. Hope that goes well. You can also follow us at V2 Football. Check out our website, v2football.com. Thanks for joining us. It's good night from me, and also goodbye from Ronnie Moore and Nick Davey. Good night.